Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. We're back from a little bit of a hiatus, technical difficulties, and some scheduling snafus, both not on our part. And my co-host, Stan Friedman, is on to verify that. Stan, how are you today? Stan? Stan, get the mic off. Get the mute off.
Hey, Paul. I'm trying to make it the trifecta. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I was saying, up, there I go. Shot my mouth.
Well, it almost feels like it was a vacation without taking one because we lost a couple of weeks here due to some circumstances out of our control. But, hey, we're back and we're raring to go.
Yep, absolutely. So without further ado, Stan, give us a little bit of insight into the front of the house, and then I have something from the IFA.
Well, something I caught sight of this morning that I thought I'd share, Paul, is something that maybe I take too much for granted anymore with all the years that I've spent working with PAFI and with pro athletes and trying to help bring the distance between transitioning players and franchising together. But when I look at a list that CNBC just published recently of top 10 celebrities, many of whom are athletes, but some that aren't, but top 10 celebrity franchisees, what used to be the exception is starting to feel more like the rule. And let me just give you a rundown of who some of these are and what they hold. So Peyton Manning, you know, Papa John's, one of a very high-profile Papa John's franchisee. Rick Ross, the rapper, not one, two, or three, but 25 wing stops. Shaquille O'Neal building a portfolio, Paul. I mean, I knew he was in the space, but I had no idea that his holdings are to the extent that they include 155 Five Guys.
Wow. Wow.
40 24-hour fitness centers and 17 Auntie Anne's. I mean, Shaq is bigger than some emerging brands.
Right. Absolutely.
Let's not forget Magic Johnson with a big 30 Burger Kings and 12 24-hour fitness centers. And who knew? Jimmy Buffett is the area developer for Krispy Kreme in South Florida these days, along with another rapper, Chris Brown, 14 Burger Kings, golf great Phil Mickelson, Orange County, California area developer for Five Guys, Venus Williams with 4 Jamba Juice restaurants in D.C., and rounding out our list are two more iconic names, Drew Brees, with not one or two, but 20 Jimmy John's stores in New Orleans. And you didn't ask me yet today, Paul, but I did just finish my sandwich. And then rounding it all out, 85-year-old Hank Aaron with 24 Popeyes and 2 Krispy Kremes. I mean, wow. It's becoming a little bit more than just a passing fancy that we're seeing franchising taking hold by celebrities as well as athletes that are doing it in a fairly significant and replicatable way. So I was pretty impressed by that list. And we'll come back next week with another list that CNBC features on which a couple of our friends appear, and those include some of the 10 wackiest oddball franchises that you didn't even know exist. And we'll have some fun with that next week.
Sounds good. And one I just found out about, a pro athlete, a former pro athlete that's big here in the Houston market, Akeem Olajuwon has 39 Denny's, amongst some others as well. So you're right. I think there's a lot more out there. So
that is a whole lot of breakfast, Paul.
You better believe it. That is a lot for number 34 of the Rockets. So received this morning an email from the IFA to the Franchise Action Network members. And it says, this morning the U.S. Department of Labor issued its final rule changing federal overtime pay requirements. Here's what the new rule requires for franchise businesses. The rule becomes effective on all covered employers on December 1st, 2016. That's not that far off. The minimum exempt salary threshold will be more than doubled to $47,476 from the current $23,660 level. the minimum salary threshold will be automatically updated every 3 years and tied to the 40th percentile of full-time salaried workers in the lowest of the five wage regions of the country, which is currently the Southeast. Paired with the much higher salary threshold and automatic adjustments, employers for the first time will be allowed to count bonuses and commissions towards as much as 10% of the salary threshold, and there'll be no changes to the duties test to determine overtime eligibility. So the IFA has actively fought this rule for months because they believe it will harm the very employees it intends to help. They're disappointed, and they know that many of us in the franchise world will be as well, because the rule may require detrimental changes to salaried managers' pay and work lives. And so the IFA is asking if anybody's willing to speak to the media on this important issue in the coming days, please let Erica Farage know at the IFA as soon as possible. They also are going to be coming out with a guide about the new regulation and the complex requirements, and they're going to release that here pretty quick, and it's going to be called the Overtime Compliance System. And it's intended to help franchise owners assess their unique workforce needs and comply with the new regulation. I got to tell you, Big Brother's doing it again. And I've been seeing, we've talked to nauseam about NLRB and the increased minimum wage, and I keep seeing article after article after article about robots and kiosks and other type of technology replacing people, and this is going to be just another thing that's going to occur in the very near future.
Well, it's not going to get easier, but we just have to get smarter and be, as with anything, we just have to stay out in front of these things, and we have to keep ourselves educated and informed. I understand that the legal symposium, which just ended yesterday, was the largest in IFA history. Obviously, everyone is dialed into the need to continue education now more than ever. And I think just as an add-on to the thing that you've already shared from Erica, there's going to be a webinar that the IFA will be announcing in the next few weeks as well, to help fully explain some of these regulations and the impact that it may have on your business, no matter how large or small, and whether you're a legacy or an emerging brand. We're all in this together, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So without further ado, because this show was originally scheduled 2 weeks ago, our guest today is Nancy Bigley, CEO and co-owner of Bottle and Bottega. And there's a great quote that I read from Nancy. It says, "You have to be diligent about saying no. There are people who will want to buy into your brand, but we say no more often than we say yes. It has to be the right person. And if we're not comfortable with that person, it's better to say no for the long term. That's tough when you're trying to build a brand." And build a brand indeed. Nancy, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here. And Stan, great to hear your voice as well.
Thank you. Good to hear yours. So does being the right person mean you have to be a sommelier, or what's the deal?
Oh, gosh. I'm still working on that one, but not quite there yet.
So, Nancy, a great story coming from corporate America to entrepreneurship. You decided to pursue passion and devote vision, talent, and energy, as many have done before. But, as we know, you follow that. So give us a little bit of insight from your perspective as to what that trek was like coming out of corporate America, and why you decided to hang that shingle on your own and then, of course, venture into franchising.
Yeah, it's been a really exciting journey, no doubt about it. And I got to tell you, I think I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who just always had that passion to open their own business and do that. And I got to say, I never didn't envision myself necessarily owning my own business way back early in my career. But certainly as I got into franchising, I think that's where my passion really got ignited. I have a background in education and business, but you know, you come out of school and you don't really know what you're going to do. And I really stumbled into franchising. I was in the clothing retail buying managing industry for several years at a college, and it just truly was not where my passion was at. And I stumbled into franchising and through a company called American Leak Detection, and literally just started over and, you know, stopped doing what I was doing and decided to go into an office. And I just wanted to learn something different. And I didn't even know what franchising meant. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it meant. And I was blessed to work for American Leak Detection's founder, Dick Renick, and at the very early stages of that company's development. And so 12 years later, flash forward, and vice president of the company and really building the infrastructure of that company for 12 years was the most amazing experience. And I learned so much. And I think that it was what really invigorated me. And working for a founder and hearing sort of that, I always love hearing stories about how, you know, founders started, like, where did that passion come from? Where did that idea come from? And I just got so inspired by it and really truly felt, you know, that, gosh, you know, anyone can do that if you just have the right vision and the right people and, you know, the right model, obviously, and all those other things. So I think that's really where I started to think, gosh, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to start my own brand one day? And that'll never happen. But gosh, you know, you got to hold those dreams out there. So it was just, it's really funny to have it come full circle and realize that, you know, the other experiences I had at Dwyer Group and Duncan obviously was helpful too. But that early, you know, experience for me getting into franchising and starting from the ground up and really working my way up through that company was really the catalyst and the infrastructure and the learning for me now coming full circle to Bottle and Bottega, going, wow, I now see why I did all of the things that I did. And they're so helpful, you know, when you're starting your own business and building it from the ground up. So
What a trifecta of companies on your resume, though.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just so blessed, you know, with American Leak Detection and Dwyer Group, who is such an amazing company, and each, you know, and then of course Duncan Brands, also a fantastic and amazing company. So I really had that experience of small, medium, and large, and single unit, multi-brand, multi-unit, you know. And I didn't realize until now, and then looking back, you know, sort of you self-analyze a lot when you're, you know, an owner and a CEO and, you know, certainly growing and building a brand. And I realize I have this very strange desire and drive to just jump in and learn new things. Like, it's just where my passion is. I just like to try and see what I can do. And so just moving from, you know, plumbing, like, really, who gets into plumbing as a female in her 20s? Like, that, what was I thinking? And something I knew nothing about, but I just love that. And so, you know, plumbing, and then I was in electrical, and then moved over to food. I didn't know anything about any of those things. And I try to impart that as I'm working with young leaders, like, just get out there and try things. Like, if you fail, you fail, but you learn so much in the process. And I was lucky to be with some amazing brands where I learned so much about infrastructure, culture, processes, obviously, which is, you know, the pivotal foundation for franchising.
You know, not only the trifecta in brands, Stan, how about the influence of some great entrepreneurs? Dwyer,
well, that's kind of
Rosenberg,
yeah.
Renick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can't help but wonder, Nancy, how much of that, you know, Paul and I, every week with whomever we have as guests, we're always trying to figure out the secret sauce of the word sustainable in front of growth. But
mm-hmm.
when you come from three places where, you know, you could say those companies and their brands have nothing in common, but they've got everything in common because
yeah.
they've got backbones of strong leadership. And
mm-hmm.
why don't you talk a little bit about how you've translated some of that into the growth and development of your own brand?
Yeah, I'd love to, because I think, yes, you're right. They're all amazing stories, amazing leaders, and certainly, you know, I as I look now, and as, you know, look, I'm still a startup franchisor. I have 20 locations, so you know, I'm still learning as I go as well. But I do look back always at the three brands that I've worked for, and you know, I think with American Leak Detection, you know, the big takeaway that I learned from that organization was relationships, and you know, relationships with your franchisees. And Dick was always such a huge proponent of this, as well as a strong leader in this, which was, you know, it's all about the relationships. And if you have those, look, you're going to have ups and downs in any organization. And, you know, first and foremost, it's about the people. And so I literally still have franchisees from that organization that I am friends with now, that I go and visit when I'm in town. And, you know, this is going back, it's been 15 years, I think, since I've been there. So that to me is really important and valuable, and I learned as much from those franchisees as they learned from me, and we learned in partner together. And so I learned a lot about that through that organization with Dwyer Group. You know, it was about really processes and systems and culture. Dina is just amazing at culture and balance, and you know, I was lucky enough to have known Dina and the Dwyer family and the leaders there prior to working for them. And so working for them, just being able to really get a true sense of, you know, how, you know, how the inner workings are, and obviously their code of values still, you know, resonates with me today. I still have them. I still look at them, even though I'm not part of that organization anymore, but I did, you know, bring those learnings over and create, you know, a code of values within our own company that we truly, you know, try very hard to live by every day. And I know from, you know, being friends with Dina and working there that it's not easy, and it's okay that it's not perfect. You know, it's okay if you miss. You're going to, and I think that's also been a great learning that I've had, is just, you know, it's okay if you're not perfect. Just keep going. But hold that culture piece. You've got to truly live and breathe it and use it as something that can really, you know, move your business forward, and use it as a guiding force in the decisions that you make. And so I've really taken that to heart and try to really lead that through with my company. And obviously their systems and processes is amazing. And so I learned a lot about analytics and just really financial management and things of that nature. And then I think with Dunkin', certainly, you know, it's funny, you know, people always ask me, well, God, how do you go from, you know, a company that big and now you're a startup and your budget's totally different. And it's very true. But I say, you know, also in a company that big, when you're running a department, you have your own smaller budgets, and to try to get more and do different things is difficult. So you kind of have to work with what you have and get extremely creative, because there's so much red tape to try to get other things. It's just it takes too long. So you have to get really creative about, you know, this is what you have, this is what your budget is. Make it happen, and as new ideas or new concepts, or there's new things that we wanted to do in our different divisions, like you had to sort of get creative and figure it out, and our teams were really able to do that and move the needle. The other thing I really learned from them was how to make decisions faster. I think when you're with smaller organizations, you have the luxury sometimes of just being able to have time and have meetings and talk and chit chat, and you know, maybe, you know, you could pull people together a lot easier. We didn't have that luxury. We're just a big machine, and we had to just keep moving. And we had to make some very big decisions. When you're dealing with bigger dollars, the risk in the decisions are so much more great. And so I learned how to, you know, be involved in process. I was involved in a lot of different departments, and you know, so you had to think on the fly. The expectation was, as a leader in an organization like that, you know, if you're coming to the table, you better come to the table with ideas, and they better be sound, and you better be able to back them up. And you oftentimes had to do that without notice. And that was really uncomfortable for me, because I'm definitely more of like, I want to know exactly what I'm doing. I want to be able to have time to think it and be very precise, and you can't, I didn't have that luxury. It was, Nancy, what do you think about this? Give me background on this. And I had to be ready to support my case and get what I needed from my team. And it was very terrifying early on because it wasn't what I was used to, but it was such an amazing, amazing experience. And so again, you know, with a startup, obviously we're a smaller team, but I really try to infuse that, you know, into our team. Like, let's think on our feet. Let's see how we can make decisions faster and, you know, analyze things quicker and make the right decisions, obviously, but, you know, not over process. So,
doesn't it, though, become an easier thing to do whether you are a small startup company or an emerging brand, or if you're, you know, if you're an iconic global Dunkin', certain things, and I'm thinking you're going to agree with this, certain things are fundamental. I mean, so even Chick-fil-A, when Chick-fil-A started, they were closed on Sundays. And mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A had thousands of stores still closed on Sundays. Same values and principles are in play as they've scaled as were when they were just starting. And so I'm going to bet in your business, you and your partner brought some fundamental guiding values and principles to the table in the business planning stage that you took into the first 20 with you and that will continue with the next 20 and on. Talk a little bit about what it is that's at the root and the foundation of the concept and what attracts the people, both as employees as well as customers and onto franchisees.
Yeah, certainly. We, you know, definitely did a lot of thought and you know, just analyzing, probably overanalyzing, you know, sort of what we wanted our business to be and look like. And, you know, we're an art business, so it's all about the party. Like, we have a party every night. So you've got to be, you know, you've got to be a happy group of people. You've got to be inspirational. And, you know, people are coming to have a good time. They're celebrating a special event. We do a lot of private party business. So, you know, you have to make sure that you're bringing the party every night. It's a fun place to be. We certainly knew that we were, you know, it was very new when we started it, and we knew it was going to be popular. We knew the industry was going to grow. So we were very, very focused on being different. You have to be different. And we didn't just stumble into it going, oh yeah, this is great, let's just see how it goes. It's like, no, this is going to be popular. It's going to grow. We're going to have more competition. How are we going to stand out? How are we going to be different? And we really put a lot of thought into that, and from the way our studios look, the way that, you know, what business categories we focus on, and you know, sort of how we launched our business, and that certainly hasn't changed. And it's where we, you know, we do hold those, you know, sort of differentiators out, those key differentiators with our business. And every time we're, you know, rolling out new concepts or new product lines, it's like, does it fit, you know, the core competencies? Are they the primary drivers of our business that we want to be focused on? And if it's not, you know, we have to really try hard to say no, because, you know, we are small and we just only have so many resources to be able to move through, you know, launching and working on new products. So we do pressure test it against our differentiators, and we've never, ever, ever deviated from what our key differentiators are. And then, you know, from a culture perspective, what we were talking about earlier too, same thing. It's we modify it, of course. You know, you're always modifying and tweaking and clarifying, but, you know, for us, it's always been about fun, inspiration. So our core values is around the first principle. So for us, it's fun, inspiration, respect, support, and teamwork. And so that translates both to our guests as well as to our franchisees. And certainly in our business, if we can't have fun and we can't inspire people, then we're not going to be successful. And so we really, you know, try to stay extremely focused on that. And sometimes you forget, right? You're running a business, and it's a fine balance of, yeah, we want to have fun. We want to throw a party every night, but we still have to make money. And we still have to work, and we still have to get all those things done that aren't fun. And so sometimes I think having a fun business can make it almost a little harder, because I'm very much sort of it's about the numbers, it's about the business, and you can tend to get too process-driven when it comes to that. And so, you know, the core principles, the code of values that we have around FIRST is so helpful for me to look at that every day and make sure that I'm bringing the fun, that I'm being inspirational for my team, and that, you know, they're doing the same for our franchisees, and our franchisees are doing the same for our guests. So,
you know, Nancy, you know, coming out of three iconic brands, and of course, Dunkin' being of a massive size, not that Dwyer Group isn't, or at least has become massive in itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you come out of these large brands, working for these, you know, iconic individuals and teams, and these great cultures. And a lot of organizations, a lot of franchise organizations benchmark themselves against that. And here you are, day one, starting a new business. Take us through some of those very, very early days, and what you were experiencing, and share with us, you know, some of your thoughts at that time. Am I doing the right decision? Are we going about it right? I mean, there had to be some of that going on. So if you could take us through that little bit of a tour of yesterday, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, certainly that, and, you know, what the heck was I thinking? That popped up a couple times too, and I'll say, you know, I still have a lot of those same questions, when I wake up in the morning some days. But, yeah, I think, look, it was a point in my life where I had, you know, and felt very successful and accomplished, and as you've mentioned, worked for some amazing companies and was certainly very gratified and got results and, you know, again, did all those things that, you know, check. I just wanted more. I felt, and I hear this from my franchisees too as they're in the discovery process. There's just, I don't know if it's when you reach a certain age but you just get to a point and you're like, there's something missing. There's more. Yes, I could be successful and go to another company and kind of, I know I could learn some more things, but I just had this pull to just do more. I wanted to leave a bigger legacy. I wanted to have those questions as you get older, like, well, if I'm not here tomorrow, like, what have I done? Like, will people talk about anything that I've contributed that was substantial? And I just wanted to leave and have a bigger influence, I guess, on the world. That sounds very dramatic, but it was very odd how this all every probably career choice that I made just it wasn't very conscious all the time, but it turned out to be amazing. And this Bottom Bottega was no different. So I was having this pull that I wanted to, you know, again, live my dream and launch my own business. But there's so, but where do you start? So my business partner and I actually, I was, I'm part of Friendship, the mentorship program for IFA. So I actually was introduced to Stephanie by my business partner, by a mutual friend of ours, and she needed mentorship on franchising because she had started this business. It had been mobile. We started off doing mobile pop-up businesses and restaurants and wine bars before she opened a studio. We opened one together. So she was just getting very successful doing that, wanted to do a studio, had a lot of her guests asking her about franchise, you know, oh God, I love this concept. Like, are you franchising? And she's like, I don't know what that means. So we got connected and I, you know, as we all do, right? Like we talk to people, go, sure, I could talk about franchising all day long. Let me tell you what it's about. Let me give you some ideas. Let me point you in the right direction. So that's what I did. And 3 months later, I was buying into the business because I was was so passionate about it. I'd been working with an executive coach to just kind of help me. And I think that was one of the best decisions I ever made, was to just take some time, get help from someone else and help me understand what I wanted. Because I think that's part of it too, is if we try to muscle through just big decisions on our own, we just kind of need some outside influence. So I hired an executive coach and she worked with me to kind of help me understand what I wanted. What was my goals? What did I want to do with my life? And so it was funny because when Stephanie and I started talking and I ultimately wanted to buy into the business, I went back to her and said, I'm a little terrified right now because I'm ready to invest money into this business and completely change my life. And I'm not extremely terrified about it. And I'm terrified that I'm not terrified about it. And I said, can you help me understand this? And she said, well, Nancy, you've done all the work. to understand what you wanted. This just happens to fit all of your criteria and the path that we've laid out for you. That's why the decision is so easy. And I'm like, oh, I never really thought about it like that. So it was extremely helpful so that I could make that decision quicker. And certainly starting it, it's been an exciting journey the whole way. I literally bought into the business right after IFA in February of 2011, came back, opened our first studio, and spent that entire year building the infrastructure for the franchise. So again, really leveraging my amazing network of franchise friends, and including, you know, entrepreneurs and vendors. And I pulled on every resource that I had and said, I have a plan. I have this idea. This is what I want to do. Am I stupid? Am I crazy? Tell me now, because I'm getting ready to sign this paperwork. And oh, by the way, if I do this, will you help me? And I think that's something I've learned as an entrepreneur, is just you can't be afraid to ask for help. And I think it's very difficult for a lot of us to do that, but you are risking a lot. You can't be afraid to do that. And I tell my franchisees that all the time. So yeah, just really hunkered down, my business partner and I, that first year, and tested and tried every possible different angle of this business that we thought would be great and work. And that's what really helped us solidify our strategy, our differentiators, and really identify who we were, what we were about, because we knew that we needed to lock that down early on and make sure that it didn't change. And so that first year was really about that, which was amazing and exciting. And I don't know if I mentioned this either, but I live in California, but we're headquartered in Chicago. So just to add a whole nother, you know, crazy dynamic to, you know, my life and, you know, me not ever taking the easy road. So my life consists of, you know, going back and forth every month to Chicago. So, you know, that first year was exciting and again, exhilarating and pulling. And that was where I really realized how much I'd learned. You don't realize how much you've learned until you actually have to start applying it in so many different areas. And I literally pulled on my experience from, you know, all my great brands in franchising over the last 25 years, and realized, like, oh, that's why I took over that department to do that. Okay, now I know. Now I get it. That makes sense now. So, because, you know, when you're a startup, you do everything. You are rolling up your sleeves, and you absolutely are back to doing everything. And if you're not willing to do that, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. But so that was our first year, and then we've just been, you know, again, continuing to build and grow and add staff. And I've been, again, extremely blessed to be able to bring people onto our team that have worked for me in the past, or that I've worked for at other brands in the past. And I think that has also been so amazing, is, you know, to have a team that, you know, I know and they know me, and, you know, we value each other and know each other. And there's just so much commitment and passion. My corporate team is amazing, and, you know, there's very few of us, but we're just a very strong force, and have a lot of experiences together, and that gave me a lot of comfort too. And so I think I knew about myself that I really just I have a lot of confidence in myself. I just needed to make sure that I had that external team, and that was what was probably the most heartfelt part of starting this business, and brings tears to my eyes a lot of times when I talk about it, is just the amazing amount of support that I had and still have. I had so many people that called me up and said, I don't know what you need, but just tell me and I'm there for you. And they have been. And sometimes they still reach out and go, do you want to talk about stuff? Because, you know, I'm not still that great about bothering people. I've gotten a lot better about it and asking for help, but I still have so many that will call and go, you want to talk through some stuff? So that was amazing. And I think just, you know, having that strong external network of people that you can go to and be comfortable that it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to say, I don't know. I've gotten so great at that, and I certainly try to pay that forward and mentor other young entrepreneurs or franchisees or, you know, executives that are, you know, kind of going through that path. So it's still a continuous learning process, no doubt about it.
It's no coincidence that you've landed where you have. It's just, there are no coincidences, and you're clearly where you belong at the right time for the right reason. Hey, you're listening to Franchising Today. I'm Stan Friedman along with Paul Segretto, and our guest today is the extremely passionate Nancy Bigley, co-founder and CEO of Bottle & Bottega. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator boasting more than 30 years of experience, helping emerging brands bring sustainable growth to their franchise systems. The Foundry utilizes a hybrid coaching and consulting approach to the Foundry team of helping their clients with long-term solutions for their goals in franchise management and operations, change management, traditional and digital marketing technology, relationship and business management, and, of course, franchise recruitment and development. The Franchise Foundry also assists franchise brands with raising capital and the exploration of merger and acquisition opportunities if and when the time is right. You can learn more about their expanding list of clients across various industry segments at franchisefoundry.com. That's www.franchisefoundry.com for Paul Segretto's Franchise Foundry. Franchise Today also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and content management software designed specifically for managing franchise relationships. Built in industry-leading Microsoft Dynamics CRM, their solutions are both cloud-based as well as fully accessible from right inside the Outlook inbox. With FRM, you'll spend more time focused on the business of building top and bottom line growth, while FRM assists with effectively managing communications and collaboration with prospective and existing franchisees. Sort, report, and dashboard all of your vital data and empower your team to accelerate franchise growth, streamline store openings, and better manage processes, workflows, unit-level performance, and compliance. No hassles, no long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. On the web at frmsolutions.com. So, Nancy, going into the break, you shared an awful lot about the foundation of your decision and how you found yourself checking everything off on the bucket list that got you into the belief that you're in the business for the right reason at the right place and time. How do you take that today and do that for the next of the family of franchisees that are coming your way as recruits today and help them realize, understand, and I know your passion comes a long way with it because it's very hard to do anything except taste all the belief you've got in the business just listening to you talk. But demonstrating that yours is the right engine for prospects to hitch their wagons to, how do you go about doing that? Because you said at the top of the show, you know, saying no is as important as anything. Talk a little bit about your selection process.
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks for asking it. You know, it's funny. I certainly, you know, realized that my journey into deciding if I wanted to buy into this amazing business that we now have was the right fit for me. It, again, everything always comes full circle. And so it was funny, as I was building our discovery portal for our franchise candidates for me to be able to utilize to take them through that process, I realized that I was literally building my journey. And so my discovery portal is my journey and all the questions that I asked myself and that I did research on and, you know, just all of those amazing questions and important questions that, you know, I think any business owner needs to go through. And I didn't realize it at the time as I was building it, but as I started going through it, I go, oh my God, this is my journey. So as I'm talking to candidates, and I have a person that does that now, but I still engage and very involved in the process, I tell them, like, this discovery portal, because there's a lot to it. We put our candidates through a lot of hoops. I know more than most franchisors, but I am very passionate about making sure that we have the right people. And I think, you know, certainly being in franchising for as long as I have, I know the outcome and what happens if you don't have the right people on your team, and it's not a good outcome for you as a franchisor or for them as a franchisee business owner. And so I really share that story about, you know, look, we're all in this to be successful and have fun. If this isn't the right fit, like, this isn't a sales process, it's a discovery process, because it's got to be good for them, it's got to be good for us. So we have an enormous amount of not only data for them to review, and a lot of it is about us as leaders and our culture and our expectations, and we ask a lot of questions, and a lot of the questions aren't just, you know, tactical skill questions. It's just about them and their personality and what's important to them and what are their goals and what are their dreams and what lifestyle do they want, and you know, just really trying to pull out you know, sort of their emotion, because truly I do 100% believe that you have to be passionate about what you do every single day, whether it's working in your corporate career or it's launching a business, because it is a lot of work. It's hard work, and there's up days and down days, and that passion, I think, is not only what carries you through and reminds you why you got into it, but it sells. I mean, your consumer, your guest, they need to be able to feel that passion in you. If you're passionate about your business, you're never going to have to sell anybody, because they're just going to want to be a part of what you're a part of. And so I truly believe that with our business. So my process is really about discovering them, having them discover us, being very, very open and honest about, you know, what our expectations are. And look, like, I want to grow. I want to grow as quickly as possible. But, and it's not perfect process, you know, definitely have, you know, if you get your learnings along the way and you think you've got it right. And sometimes you do bring people on and you're like, probably wasn't the best idea, but you learn. And I think that's what's important to know is, you know, every single franchisee that we bring on board, you know, of course we feel that they're going to be, you know, a fantastic addition to our team, or else we wouldn't have made that decision. But we do sit close and we analyze sort of how is it going, and is it what we expected? Is it what they expected? And we get the learnings. And so we're getting better at sort of identifying and calling out to our candidates, because it's really hard to say no to somebody when they're so passionate about it. But again, I don't feel like you're doing them any favors. And if you're doing the process right, I truly feel like for the most part, we get to the same place at the same time and both shake hands and say, God, it was really great to meet you, but this is definitely either not the right fit for you or it's not the right time for you. And they truly realize it at the same time, which I think is great, because I think that means we're doing our job properly. And of course, you know, just talking to franchisees, and I think that's always such an important part of the process is, you know, you want to make sure that you're talking to the franchisees and the organization. And look, it's, you know, some of the stories are great stories, and some of the stories are, we're still trying to get there. And I think those stories are as important as the great stories. I don't want candidates talking to my top operators exclusively. I want them talking to the top, the bottom. You need to really know what you're getting into, and I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of them hearing things that maybe I might not be super excited about, but, you know, it's not everything's under my control. And I think, look, if someone's going to scare away really easily because maybe they talk to a franchisee that isn't quite where they want to be, then that's not the right franchisee for me, because I need somebody that's not going to just run at the first sign of things, you know, going wrong. Like, things don't always go according to plan, so you have to be able to problem solve. You have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to reach out and talk to your franchisor, talk to your other franchisees, talk to your own network, and figure it out and keep moving. You can't just sort of give up and go, oh, well, you know, this wasn't quite the right fit for me. So we do really do put a lot of time and, you know, really make them sell us on them. And we have a whole plan they have to put together and present to us. And again, I hear, you know, from them, like, God, that was a lot of work. But you know what? We so appreciate that you made us do all this work, because we really feel that, you know, we looked at all the right things. And I think they really appreciate that we, you know, don't just bring them in to a discovery day and try to sell them on the brand. Like, you know, they appreciate the fact that we make them sell us on them. And I think that shows our leadership. It shows what type of culture we have. And at the end of the day, you know, if we do end up awarding, like, that's a big part of what attracted them to us and what also made them believe that it was the right fit. So we try to be very, very diligent. And we have, our whole team at our headquarters is involved in the process. And we all have a vote. And if somebody doesn't agree that it's the right fit and the rest can't get on board, then we don't move forward. And I think that was a big process that I changed about a year and a half ago. And it really took the pressure off of me as the leader to feel like I had to make these decisions on my own. Mm-hmm. And having sort of, you know, the whole team, you know, have a say in that, I thought was important for many reasons. One, again, just making sure that we're all aligned and we're not missing something. and that our candidates know that that's going to happen. But two, like, look, if it doesn't quite pan out exactly the way we thought, and maybe somebody is taking a little bit more time than we thought, and we have to double down on support, which is okay. The team is more rallied around it because it was like, look, you had a seat at the table and you had a say. So there's no finger pointing going on here. We're all in the same boat. We're all going to double down and really help this franchisee. And that's just been an amazing change that we did in the last year and a half. So.
You know, I was sitting here listening very intently. I love how passionate you are. I mean, it just exudes from you. And I'm thinking of the great TV franchise, you know, Real Housewives of whatever city. And Andy Cohen mm-hmm. has his behind the scenes show. And they say the word of the day is if it's passion, and we took a sip of wine. Every time passion was mentioned on this show, we'd probably be slurring our words from now. because it definitely has come out more than enough times. And it really does come down to passion. And I think it's also that passion that comes from you from franchising. And I know very active in the IFA. I mean, you're the leader now of the Women's Franchise Network. You're a startup franchisor that, And it's not living in the home office city. And so your time is very valuable, yet you make sure to give back. You make sure to pay it forward. How important is that for you, as well as how important should it be for others following in your footprint?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind comments. And I would say it's huge. And I think as I looked at why I wanted to, you know, start my own business, because certainly, you know, we can look back and go, you know, if I stay with my corporate career, I'd certainly probably be making a lot more money. So it's not always about the money. It's about your passion. And I just wanted to be able to do more, give back more, create opportunities for women in particular in business, and that's why this brand was such a great fit for me. As I mentioned earlier too, I, you know, had and continue to have so much help and support, and truly am you know, just again, it inspires me every day about the people that help me. And so I am a big fan of giving back. I always have been, even back earlier in my career, you know, because I always believe what comes around goes around. If you're just that positive, good, giving person, you know, sometimes you don't see the immediate win and you feel taken advantage of and you feel like, gosh, maybe I should be more like that person. No, you shouldn't. You should be a kind, good, giving person, because it does come back around to you. I think the universe just works that way. And so I really try, and I'm very, very, very honored to be the chairwoman of the Women's Franchise Committee, because, you know, we truly are about leadership, and our mission is to empower leaders in franchising by promoting women, you know, in franchising internationally and nationally through just, you know, all sorts of networking opportunities and exchange of ideas. And, you know, we put our leadership conference on every year at the IFA, and it's absolutely one of the most, and I hear this every year, one of the best takeaways from the convention, and we get ranked very highly every year. We put a lot of time into it. We work on it every year, and the women that I work with are absolutely amazing women, and we bring that forward at the local level with our WFNs, and it just getting into doing some really, really cool things with Dress for Success, you know, helping, again, young women at the local level now, you know, to really inspire them to believe in themselves and believe that they can be more and be better. And I just, again, I get all worked up when I talk about it, because I feel like, gosh, I had so many amazing mentors and leaders, either officially or unofficially in my career that just took me under their wing and really believed in me. And I feel like we have to be that way and act that way as leaders. We have to bring up the next leaders in our world. And, you know, you just, I always think, God, who knows with that person that works for me now that I'm mentoring or I'm hopefully inspiring, like, what are they going to do? And you never know what amazing, amazing things they could do. And if I could play any small part and helping them, inspire them, like that is huge. And oftentimes I think we never know. I always tell my team, you never know who's watching you. As a leader, you always have to know that people are always looking at you and hopefully being inspired by you. But, you know, if you're not doing the right things, they could be uninspired by you. So you have to really always be thinking about that person that's watching and how can you best lead them and put your best foot forward and be the best person that you can be. And we're not always the best people that we can be every day. I'm not perfect. I'm not the best person every day, but I'm always looking for ways to give back, mentor, help, share, you know, tips and tricks, and don't make this mistake or make sure you think about that, because it's all about, you know, you could have a really great idea and concept, but if you can't get it off the ground and you make too many mistakes at the front end, you can fail very quickly. And I, you know, you hate when you see like really great ideas just not make it, and sometimes they don't make it just because of, you know, a silly decision or something. And you're like, oh, I wish I would have known. I could have said something. So I try to always just share. I'm proud, but I'm not proud to, you know, I'm perfectly okay to share my mistakes. I feel we all make them. It's how we learn. It's how we get wisdom. You can't get wisdom if you don't make mistakes. So make them, learn from them. If you keep making the same ones over and over again, then we have a problem. But as long as we learn from them and grow from them. And then, again, that's where you're able to help other people by sharing, like, this is what I would do differently now. And I've done that with my mentees that I have through friendship and just having conversations. And when you can see somebody go, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. I was totally going to go in that direction and do that, and now I'm going to go this way. Thank you so much. Like, I feel so gratified by that because I just potentially saved someone else money, time, you know, and whatever else. So as you can tell, I am extremely passionate about giving back. I think it's just the price that we should, I don't want to say the price we should pay because it sounds very strange, but it's just what we should do as leaders. And I think it comes back around to you for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd be curious if you wouldn't mind helping the audience figure out and learn how best to get engaged with the Women's Franchise Council. You know, you are an amazing group of women. I listed 10 or so celebrities and athletes, but when I look at the who's who in your organization, it's like pro athletes and celebrities as well. It might intimidate some people who don't think that they belong in that kind of company. So break that barrier down and tell the audience how they can get involved and that you don't need to be a female to being engaged with the women's committee either, do you?
Oh, you don't. Thank you so much for saying that. Yes, I think that's, you know, certainly our committee is all about women, and we, you know, we are focused on, you know, women's issues and ways that we can help, you know, young women in particular. But you're right, all of the activities that we host, so our leadership conference every year at IFA, we have just as many men as we do women. It's about leadership, and leadership applies to all genders. Same with our WFNs. Those are our Women Franchise Network meetings that happen across the country and monthly and every other month. Just, again, amazing leadership ideas and brainstorming and exchanging ideas. We just happen to coordinate it all, but it's absolutely for men and women. So you can go to franchise.org and go read more information about it. You can email Andy at franchise.org, A-N-D-I-E. So Andy Snyder is our coordinator at IFA that hosts or is my partner, and she puts everything together for us at IFA. Our committee meetings at IFA conferences are open. We certainly encourage, you know, anyone to come and sit and participate, and we have a lot of people that come and sit. They just want to listen and learn, and I think that's always great. Like, it doesn't have to be official. Just come and listen and learn and get inspired or not. Hopefully you do, and then, you know, be a part of it at a more official level, but at a minimum, just come and show up, and I promise you, you're going to take away some really great information.
Well, this was really some great information today, Nancy, and we really appreciate you being our guest today. As I said, your passion, just, you know, just coming out of you, and it's so great to hear. It really is so great to hear. And to think, because you and I really haven't had a lot of time to talk over the last, you know, few years, more just a hello and stuff like that. And I always thought you were a very quiet, shy person.
You're like, holy moly, what's going on with this woman?
I know some
well,
people
I try to be a good
that.
Listener. I try to be a good listener,
some people
but yeah.
That about Susan Best too, Paul, you know?
Well, I was just going to say, if we had the two of them on, we could just go to Mexico and come back
yeah,
a couple hours later, a couple of days later,
yeah,
and they'd still
no
be
doubt.
Great passion.
Well, thank you both
you know,
so much. It was my pleasure, certainly.
It's amazing how fast an hour flew by, isn't it?
No kidding.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Well, we do appreciate you being here, especially since we had our technical snafu a couple of weeks ago. So you've scheduled us for a second time, and we really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. I hope it was helpful.
Right.
I've got some tidbits
yeah.
in there.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Stan, that's another wrap for us. Great show. Great information.
I wish she'd cheer up, though, Paul. It just broke my heart that she's, you know, she's just so down, you know, kidding aside, right? You're right. Second to money, the most important ingredient that somebody can bring to the start of the experience and in franchising is what comes in heart space, what makes you wake up in the morning wanting to fight the fight and break through every barrier and hurdle you can, and there is nothing that will succeed at that any better than will passion, Paul. And you've been nailing it on the head all hour long, but you're so spot on. It's passion.
Yeah, it is. And what a tremendous background in franchising with Wire Group, Duncan, mm-hmm. working with Dick Rennick. I mean, just fantastic and all that she does for the IFA. Well, Stan, we're closing in at the top of the hour. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretta, wishing you the best, the very best in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is